Let's read. I'll read. You follow along. John chapter 15, verse 12 through 14. Jesus speaking, red words. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. So, as we talked a little bit in the beginning of the service last week, we are Christ followers. If you are in this place today and you have given your life, submitted your life to God, and you call yourself a Christian, then the word Christian means to be like Christ. And so we talked briefly, we challenged each other last week, that if we are to call ourselves like Christ, then we have an obligation to live like Him on the earth, to look like Christ to the world around us. Would you say that it's not a commonplace problem in my own personal life, and you can say that about me, and in the church, that we have many Christians that are very satisfied in not living like Christ at all? Okay? And what we want to do when we come into this place, anytime we come and lift up His name and enter into His presence, we want to become more like Jesus. Does anyone here besides Jesse Tunnel need to be more like Jesus? Okay, so there's a few of us. All right, so normally it's our tradition on Memorial Day here at the gathering is that we read random citations, a Congressional Medal of Honor citations, to remember those who have given their lives. And I was just asking the Lord about it because I think that's an important part for us to remember. And so this is what I felt like he led us into. So what we're going to do today is we're going to read a few Congressional Medal of Honor citations, take a look at the bravery in these individuals, and then we're going to allow God through the scriptures to make practical application to our lives. All right, so I hope you're not offended. I'm going to be reading these citations from my phone where I have them here. Okay, so in light of John 15, 13, greater love has no one than this, than he lay down his life for his friends, coupled with the command that we're to love each other in the same way. All right, so can everybody hear me over the rain? Is this okay? You got enough volume here? Maybe not as it comes harder. Okay, so I want to read the citation for Private First Class McGinnis. This comes from the war in Iraq, June 14, 2004. It says, for conspicuous gallantry at the risk of his life above and beyond the call of duty, Private First Class Ross McGinnis distinguished himself by acts of gallantry above and beyond the call of duty while serving as an M2 50 caliber machine gunner, 1st Platoon, Charlie Company, 1st Battalion, 26th Infantry Regiment, in connection with combat operations against an armed enemy in northeast Baghdad, Iraq, on 4 December 2006. That afternoon, his platoon was conducting combat control operations in an effort to reduce and control sectarian violence in this area. While Private McGinnis was manning the M2 50 caliber machine gun, a fragmentation grenade thrown by an insurgent fell through the gunner's hatch and into the vehicle. Reacting quickly, he yelled, "Grenade!" allowing all four members of his crew to prepare for the grenade's blast. Then, rather than leaping from the gunner's hatch to safety, Private McGinnis made the courageous decision to protect his crew. In a selfless act of bravery in which he was mortally wounded, Private McGinnis covered the live grenade, pinning it between his body and the vehicle and absorbing most of the explosion. Private McGinnis' gallant action directly saved four men from certain injury or death. Private First Class McGinnis' extraordinary heroism and selflessness at the cost of his own life above and beyond the call of duty are in keeping with the highest traditions of the military service and reflect great credit upon himself, his unit, and the United States Army. Wow. And I love, you know, I pick out a few every year, but and I'm just so inspired as I read citation after citation to pick out a few. And when we look at this young man, Private First Class McGinnis, you know, what obviously we see is this scripture in John chapter 15, 13, put into flesh, that greater love hath no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. And something that, of course, screams out of this action, out of this heroism, is sacrificial love. Sacrificial love. And as you and I take a look at this passage of Scripture, and we see a clear command of Jesus, this is not a suggestion, okay? If you're looking for a suggestion, go somewhere else. This is a command of Jesus, that we love each other in this way. That we give our lives for one another. And so when we look at the sacrificial love of Private McGinnis for his brothers in arms, what we're asking ourselves is, God, how do you take this Scripture put into flesh and change us? And so the challenge for you and I is sacrificial love. To live a life of sacrificial love. How many of you know the truth of Scripture that Jesus was not killed, he gave up his life? Yes? No one had the authority to take Jesus' life but himself. He said, I have the authority to lay down my life, and I have the authority to take up my life because the Father has given it to me. And if you want to know sacrificial love today, I need you to understand the love of Jesus Christ. And what's amazing to me is Private McGinnis sacrificed his own life for the love of his brothers that were his comrades. But Jesus sacrificed his life for people like me, who don't love him well, who don't treat him well, who have forsaken him, who have rebelled against him. For his own enemies, the Bible says, we were enemies of Jesus. And yet he has sacrificial love. So what is required of you and I to live like Christ? Sacrificial love. Jesus said this, if anyone's going to follow after me, he must what? Anybody know? Deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. If we're to live like Christ, if we're going to live in a way that honors God, it is going to require sacrificial love. I don't know what gospel you've been preached, but if you've been preached any other gospel than this, that if you're going to follow Christ, it will cost you everything, then you've been misled. My daughter, Kara, she's six, and she came. We've been talking about salvation, you know, for, I don't know, maybe a year now. My son Adam, he's close. You know, he's journeying. And my daughter Kara, we were talking about it. She was asking questions. And she said, Dad, I think I want to give my heart to God. I really want to. And I said, okay, Kara, you know I love you. You know there's nothing more than I want more for you. Your birthday is in 30 days. I want you to take 30 days. And for every day for the next 30 days, I want you to spend a few minutes, and I want you to count the cost of giving your life to God. And I communicated to her in the best way that I can. If you give your life to God, it will cost you everything. You don't get to live the way you want. You don't get to talk the way you want. You don't get to do the things you want to do. You become a servant to a master. You know, and we need to understand what sacrificial love for God is. We need to renew our mind. And then when we look in our relationship to others, Jesus said, and you're to love others the same way that I loved you. Anyone else being willing to admit that sacrificial love for other people is difficult for you? That besides me, okay? You know, we live in a culture that's stacked pretty high on self, don't we? All right. You know, we live in a culture that breeds this lifestyle of me. It's about me. And for us to be obedient to the command of Jesus and to love others sacrificially is difficult. But, how old were you when you left Texas and went to Africa? 22 years old. Met your bride there. Established what God asked you to do. What were you doing at 22? Anyway, just want to throw it out there. Were you establishing an orphanage in Africa? I sure wasn't at 22. And you know, Bud, we love you. And of course, I know it's all glory to the Father. But I'm grateful that we do have people that are saying, I will sacrifice it all. I can't even imagine all that you've sacrificed in your journey, all that you've given up. But I know this, you will hear those words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Man, because God doesn't call us to love the easily loved, does He? He calls us to a lifestyle of sacrificial love. And man, I fall in love with these soldiers when I read these, because I mean, without even knowing it, they have so personified the love of Jesus. So can I read another one? Another citation? All right. So this is a Private First Class Daniel Shea. So trying to kind of go back in history. So this one, you know, from the Enduring Freedom, this is from the Vietnam War. So this is Private First Class Daniel Shea. "For conspicuous gallantry in action at the risk of his life above and beyond the call of duty, PFC Shea Headquarters and Headquarters Company, 3rd Battalion, distinguished himself while serving as a medical aidman with Company C, 3rd Battalion, during a combat patrol mission. As the lead platoon of the company was crossing a rice paddy, a large enemy force in ambush positions opened fire with mortars, grenades, and automatic weapons. Under heavy fire from three sides, the platoon withdrew to a smaller island in the paddy to establish a defensive perimeter. PFC Shea, seeing that a number of his comrades had fallen in the initial hell of fire, dashed from the defensive position to assist the wounded. With complete disregard for his safety and braving intense hostile fire sweeping the open rice paddy, PFC Shea made four trips to 10 wounded soldiers and to carry them to safety at the platoon position. Seeing a fifth wounded comrade directly in front of one of the enemy's strong points, PFC Shea ran to his assistant. As he reached the wounded man, PFC Shea was grievously wounded. Disregarding his welfare, Shea tended his wounded comrade and began to move him back to the safety of the defensive perimeter. As he neared the platoon position, PFC Shea was mortally wounded by a burst of enemy fire. By his heroic action, PFC Shea saved the lives of several of his fellow soldiers. PFC Shea's gallantry and action at the cost of his own life were in keeping with the highest traditions of the military service and reflect great credit upon himself, his unit, and the United States military." So, man, I don't know where you muster up that kind of courage and compassion, you know, but here's an individual continuously putting his life at risk to meet the needs of his brothers at arms. You know, and for me, you know, just reading through the citation, what screams out to me is a compassionate love. A compassionate love. I mean, you know what's interesting to me is obviously this guy's no sissy, you know, to be in the situation that he is. And yet his love is demonstrated through compassion toward the hurt and toward the wounded. And this is challenging to us as followers of Jesus Christ, because if we are going to be like Jesus, then we must be people of compassion but toward the hurting and the needy. And you know what? That stinks. It stinks, because anytime you're compassionate toward hurting and needing people, it is inconvenient, it's messy, you get caught up in their junk, there's all these things that you have to endure to walk through hardships with them. And yet Jesus, I love what the passage says in Matthew, that he's ministering to the crowds and he looks up and it says he has great compassion on them because he sees them as sheep without a shepherd, harassed and helpless. Okay, so here's where the rubber meets the road. Many of us are annoyed by needy people, aren't we? Let's be honest. We call ourselves Christians and we're annoyed by needy or hurting people. They always want stuff from us. Come on, can't you get yourself out of your cycle? This is pathetic. How many times have we helped you in this? And if we're not careful, we become so callous with our self-righteous Christianity. Amen? And what if Jesus treated us that way? Does anybody else find themselves in that cyclical, needy person of His grace, of His forgiveness, of His love, of His power, of his healing. We are 24/7 in need to him. And yet he compassionately meets us where we are. And I don't know about you, but I'm completely challenged by this because, you know, I'm just being honest. Sometimes I get tired of getting phone calls just like you do. Get tired of people's needs, you know. Just kind of want to shut the door. I'll call you on Monday. Just like you do. And you're just overrun with people's stuff. That is the sacrificial love, to be like Christ. When we allow the love of Christ to drive us in genuine compassion. You know what? I think many times that we don't see the power of God manifested in the church like I think he wants to. Because we see people's needs and hurts as an opportunity to beat the devil instead of a hurting and brother, sister in need of the love and ministry of God. And those are two very different things. Those are two very different things. Come on. God has called us to be ministers. And I'm speaking especially to the men that kind of have that warrior mentality. And there's sometimes when stuff goes on that we're getting mad at saying, oh, I'm going to whoop you on this one. And we go in there with guns blazing spiritually to do this ministry. And we have no love and compassion for those that are actually hurting and need the ministry. And Jesus said this, if it's outside the umbrella of love, it means nothing. Right? 1 Corinthians 13. You can have all the gifts, all the power, everything. But if it's not in love, it's worthless. You know, so letting God bring us back to that place of compassion, returning us to compassion. And you know, I want to say to those of you, there are some of you in here that you just pour out compassion. I know you. I love you. I see you at work. And like your whole life, man, God has just gifted you with mercy and compassion and a heart to help people. And you know, I just want to remind you of the truth in Galatians 6:9. Don't grow weary. Don't grow weary. Don't let Satan make you bitter out of your continual compassionate ministry. For those of us that he has broken our heart and he's kind of given us this compassion and mercy for the needy, sometimes if we're not careful, we play that out so far that we begin to resent those that we should have compassion on. And don't grow weary. And you know the best way to not grow weary? Be with Jesus every day. Start your day with Jesus. Start your day with a prayer in his presence and let him minister to you. Because if we're not careful, man, those of us who minister in the name of Jesus, we can minister in his name for weeks and never actually be with him. Come on. We can. And when we do that, we're manufacturing the work of God instead of overflowing the work of God. So if you're one of those people that just compassion, it wells out of you, but you're weary, come back to your first love. Spend time with him. He will renew that love and compassion in you. All right, can I read another? I think this one might be my favorite. This is for all you warrior spirits out there. All right, this is Private First Class Jack Hansen. This is from the Korean War. It says, Private First Class Hansen, a machine gunner with the 1st Platoon, Company F, distinguished himself by conspicuous gallantry at the risk of his life above and beyond the call of duty in action against an armed enemy of the United Nations. The company, in defensive position on two strategic hills separated by a wide saddle, was ruthlessly attacked at approximately 0300 hours, the brunt of which centered on the approach to divide within range of PFC Hansen's machine gun. In the initial phase of the action, four riflemen were wounded and evacuated, and the numerically superior enemy advanced under cover of darkness, infiltrated, and posed an imminent threat to the security of the command post and the weapons platoon. Upon orders to move to key terrain above and to the right of PFC Hansen's position, he voluntarily remained to provide protective fire for the withdrawal. Subsequent to the retiring elements fighting a rearguard action of the new location, it was learned that PFC Hansen's assistant gunner and three riflemen had been wounded and had crawled to safety, and that he was maintaining a lone one-man defense. After the 1st Platoon reorganized, counterattacked, and
All right. So after they reorganized, the counterattacked and resecured its original positions at approximately 0530 hours, PFC Hansen's body was found lying in front of his emplacement, his machine gun empty, his empty pistol in his right hand, and a machete with blood on the blade in his left hand, and approximately 22 enemy dead lay in the wake of his self-sacrifice. You know, I don't know if that raises up in the warrior spirit of some of you, but does anybody else want to be that guy in the spirit realm? And see, there's a sacrificial love, and there's a compassionate love, and then there's a fierce fighting love. A love that fiercely fights. And didn't Jesus demonstrate that kind of love? He fought the battle, and he left everything on the battlefield, including his very blood and water from his body. He fiercely fought for you. You need to know that. He fiercely fought for you. And in the wake of his fight lays Satan and all his power being vanquished and destroyed for all eternity. And you know, I believe that God is calling some men and women to be fierce fighters. Now, we're not talking about in flesh and blood. We know the scripture's clear, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Our battle's not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and the principalities of this dark age. But there is a battle. You need to understand that there is a battle raging out there for every... For every spiritual being alive on the earth that does not know Christ, Satan is waging a battle to destroy them before they can come to know the love of God. And for everyone who calls themselves a Christian, you can guarantee if you are actively pursuing Christ, Satan is waging a war to make you ineffective, mediocre, and lay down your Christian rights and be useless for the kingdom of God. And there is this war going on. And there are fathers and husbands who are walking through, going to their 9-to-5, working their jobs, storing up retirement, and not one time fiercely fighting for their families in the spirit realm. Yeah, we'll work 80 hours a week to put food on the table and make sure our kids get a nice house in our retirement. But where are those that are fighting fiercely in the spirit realm? For the single moms out there, that you are fighting over your children in the spirit realm. You're praying over them. You're prophesying. You're speaking the truth of God. Keep going, because God needs fierce fighters in this kingdom. Yeah. And in our Thursday morning Bible study, we got to pray and prophesy over a gentleman. God rose up in me, and I just prophesied over him that in the spirit realm of darkness, that he would become a man that is feared. That when his name is spoken in the spirit realms, that darkness flees and is fearful of the power of God in him. Come on now. We need some fierce fighting love in the body of Christ. We need people who aren't just laying over and taking it, but in the spirit realm, we're leaving the wake of the enemy completely destroyed by the power of God in us. Does that challenge anybody else? Okay. All right. Let me close with this one. One more citation to read. All right. This is Lieutenant Thomas Hudner. This is from the Korean War. He's a Navy pilot. This story is amazing. For conspicuous gallantry, at the risk of his own life above and beyond the call of duty as a pilot in Fighter Squadron 32 while attempting to rescue a squadron mate whose plane struck by an aircraft fire and trailing smoke was forced down behind enemy lines. Quickly maneuvering to circle the downed pilot and protect him from enemy troops infesting the area, Lieutenant Hudner risked his life to save the injured flyer who was trapped alive in the burning wreckage. Fully aware of the extreme danger of landing on the rough mountainous terrain and the scant hope of escape or survival in sub-zero temperature, he put his own plane down skillfully in a deliberate wheels-up landing in the presence of enemy troops. And with his bare hands, he packed the fuselage with snow
to keep the flames away from the injured pilot and struggled to pull him free. Unsuccessful in this, he returned to his crashed aircraft and radioed other airborne planes, requesting that a helicopter be dispatched with an axe and a fire extinguisher. He then remained on the spot despite the continuing danger from enemy action, and with the assistance of the injured pilot, renewed a desperate but unavailing battle against time, cold, and flames. Lieutenant Hudner's exceptionally valiant action and selfless devotion to a shipmate sustained and enhanced the highest traditions of the U.S. Naval Service. So this guy puts his plane down where there is no landing strip on a mountain and finds a brother trapped in his plane with his own hand scoops snow in sub-zero temperatures to try to preserve his life and chooses to die there doing that very thing. And here's what I want to close with. To me, that's a picture of illogical love. That makes no sense for a man to do that. That makes no human sense, no human logic. But there's a love in that man for his brother that is illogical and is above human reasoning. And there exists in the kingdom of God an illogical love for us. Amen? I mean, we're these knuckleheads, man. We keep doing it wrong. We keep walking away from Him. We keep stumbling in our sin. And yet He illogically loves us. And He just keeps taking us back and taking us back. And He pours all His wrath out on His own Son because of our sin. Because He just wants us back. And it's illogical. It defies human reasoning. And God is calling us through this scripture to love others just as He has loved us, with an illogical love. There are people in your life that are unlovely. It is not fun to love them. And for some of us, it's our spouses at times, isn't it? Are we being honest? It is illogical and unreasonable to unconditionally love our spouses sometimes. Your pastors, whoa. It's illogical love to love them for who they are. Our friends, our brothers and sisters in the church who offend us. There is a love that Jesus requires, not asks for, requires, that is illogical toward each other. And there are situations in our lives that are humanly impossible that God is asking to walk us into, asking us to walk into, to believe Him for. And there are people in your life that are such hard cases toward the gospel of Jesus Christ that it makes no sense to pursue them. None whatsoever. And yet you may be the very one that God uses illogical love and illogical faith to bring them back into repentance. And God's kingdom is a kingdom of illogical love. And so as we just going to close up simply with this. What amazes me about these four men, and there's tons like it, if you just go and read through the citations, what amazes me is these guys were private first class and first lieutenants. They're the lowest rung. They're not Navy SEALs. They're not heroes. They're not high-ranking military officials. They're regular people, just like you and I. And God has called us to a love that is sacrificial, compassionate, fierce fighting, and totally illogical in the minds of humans. And He said, if you want to look like Me in the world, this is what I look like. If you want to follow Me, this is how you love. So we're just challenged by those things. So I don't know where you are in your life. I'm pretty sure that challenges you on some front. So we're just going to close simply today. We're not going to have a time of response. I'm just going to ask us to stand together. We're going to commit to the Lord to be obedient to Him. I am going to ask the ministry team to remain over here kind of in the corner after service, that if we can help you with anything, we'll be there. So
With that said, can I pray for you and I to be changed by the sacrifice of these men, but more importantly, the truth of God's word this morning. Jesus, here we are. Our love looks very different than yours, and we want that to change. And we want to be effective on the earth to lead people to know you. So God, where our love is selfish and not sacrificial, we ask for your conviction right now and the strength to obey you. Where our love is calloused and not compassionate, we confess it to you as sin right now. And we ask that you would convict us and change us as we yield to you. Where our love is passive and mediocre instead of fierce fighting and passionate, we repent. We ask you to change us. And when our love has to look like everybody else, you've called us to a logical love that looks like you. So, Holy Spirit, right now, show us the way that we need to repent and change, and give us the courage to be obedient. Let us be a glory to you this week, Father. Pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.